So tonight, we're going to dive into the Word. And so why don't we go ahead and stand as I switch to what I'd like to share tonight. We're going to be looking at Romans chapter 1. And we're going to read a little bit tonight. We're going to read from verses 18 through 32. And so we're looking at Romans 1 and verse 18, and it says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God had showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. So they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not, neither were they thankful, but they became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like a corruptible man, and birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanliness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. And for this cause God gave them up." Say, gave them up. "For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use unto which is against nature. And likewise also men, leaving the natural use of a woman, burned in their lust toward one another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of the error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over." Say, God gave them over. "To a reprobate mind, to do those things which were not convenient." You don't have to repeat me anymore, sorry. "Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers and backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, with natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that which they commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them." Heavenly Father, I just thank you for your word and your truth tonight, Lord God. I am asking, Lord Jesus, that your words would flow forth from my mouth tonight, Lord God. I am praying, Lord Jesus, that your spirit would be in this place, that you would touch the hearts and the lives of those that hear your word. Lord God, I thank you that your word goes out not void, Lord God, but it brings back life, it brings back fruit, it brings back prosperity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. Romans 1 and 28. You're going to have to hit, like, go live. Romans 1 and 28. So that's really what I want to hone in on tonight, because really this is the majority of the scripture that I want to focus in on. You see, Romans 21 and 28, it says, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which were not convenient." Everybody say, not convenient. You see, what really popped out to me the other day was that word, those words, not convenient. Who likes convenience? Anybody? Anybody like things that are convenient? I want to talk a little bit tonight about how we can live a life of convenience versus living a life that's not convenient. You see, convenient means proper. It means suitable. So convenient means that it's suitable for personal comfort or ease. We have so many conveniences in our life today. Conveniences at our fingertips. You know, as I was thinking about this, one convenience that I have is I can literally sit on my couch, get on my phone, do my grocery shopping, and have it delivered to my house now so that I don't even have to go to the store if that's what I choose to do, right? That is a convenience that we have in our lives. You know, if you're too tired to text, you can just speak into your phone, right? And it will do talk to text. That's a convenience that we have with our phones and our vehicles so that we can watch the road and still text and drive, right? We've got conveniences such as email now. We don't have to actually mail letters. We've got conveniences such as fast food. I mean, fast foods were established as a convenience because so many families no longer have time to sit down and eat dinner together like a good family should at least a couple times a week, right? Because we're too busy doing so many other things. So we've created fast food so that when our busy lives are so hectic, we can conveniently run in and eat food in our cars together as a family, right? Fast food is a convenience. We have convenient stores so that we don't have to go to the grocery store. We can just run down to Pavies, right? Pavies is a convenience store, right? I mean, I know most of your family shop at Pavies, right? I am thankful for Pavies most days. Except for when they don't have what I want, then I'm frustrated with Pavie, right? Those are convenient stores. And you see, the more we have advancements in technology, the more we have modern conveniences, that's a good thing. Those things make our lives easier, right? Those things make our life more simple. Those things are at our fingertips to give us pleasure. They're suitable. They're proper. There's nothing wrong with conveniences. In fact, God wants us to live a life of convenience. But Romans 1 and 28 is telling us that when we reject God, which means when we do things that are not of how God wants us to do things, then we're actually causing our lives to be inconvenient. When we sin, we are causing an inconvenience in our own lives. I don't know about you, but that sounds quite a bit opposite of what the world tells us, right? The world wants you to think that going to church is inconvenient because you can't get up on Sunday morning because you can't sleep in, right? The world wants you to think that going to church on Wednesday night is inconvenient because you could be playing sports or doing so many other things with your time, right? The world doesn't want you to read your Bible because this movie is on and it's more convenient to sit on the couch and watch the movie than read the Bible, right? But God tells us, not that those things are sin in themselves, but when we have excess of those things, it's pulling us away from God, and it's actually causing us to have inconvenience in our lives. Let me read Romans 1 and 28 one more time. Because you see, when we reject God and we get this inconvenience upon ourselves, it is a choice that we have made. If you look at Romans in 1:28, it says, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge." You see, people decided that they did not like what God had to say. They didn't like his opinion on the subject, and so they decided to do the opposite. They decided to ignore the knowledge of God, which is ultimately rejecting God. It is rejecting his word. It is rejecting his truth. They said, "I don't like," it literally says that, they did not like to retain the knowledge of God. They didn't enjoy understanding and reading the scriptures and having it written in their heart. They didn't like what it had to say about certain things. And so they chose to ignore the knowledge of God. And so what did God do? We find out that God gives them over to their reprobate mind. Now that's a big word, right? I'm going to be honest. That's a word that I've heard Pastor Wayne say so many times, and it's kind of a scary word. So let me just tell you what reprobate means. It just means that it's just a morally corrupt. It means that it's evil. It means that it's sick, that it's unwholesome, that it's perverse, that it's degraded, that it's unacceptable. And so when we reject God, that's what it's saying. When we decide that we do not like what God has to say and we reject him, God is going to give us over to that sin. That's what he's saying. He's saying that you have made the choice that you don't like what my word is. You have rejected my guidance, and therefore I am going to allow you to make that choice because we all have free will. And when you reject my way and I allow you to have your own choice, you are going to end up with an inconvenience. There is going to be a consequence that you are going to have to incur because of that choice that is going to inconvenience you in your life. It's called just life. It's the truth. It's consequences. You see, when we reject God and his truth and his knowledge, every one of us has the option to choose right and wrong. And when we choose wrong, we are choosing a path of inconvenience. So what are some ways that we can know if we have rejected God? The scripture tells us here through Romans. First it says, when we know God, but we choose not to give him the glory. So we can have a knowledge of God that he exists. We can believe that God exists and choose not to give him the glory. You see, Romans in 1:18 tells us that God's revealed himself to all creation. It says that he has showed himself to every single one of us. He has not hidden himself to us, but he has shown himself to us through nature. And so there is no person on this earth that when they die and they stand before God that can say, God, I didn't know you were real. Because we can see God in every essence of the world that we live in. And when we don't recognize his glory and his power, when we don't give him the glory of the fact that he made the sun rise today, that he directs the rain to fall, that he created every single one of us in his image, when we don't give him the glory, that's the first step of rejecting him. We reject him when we're not thankful, when we don't thank him for the blessings and the goodness that he has given us. We reject him when we become vain in our imaginations, meaning when we think about trivial things, when we think on things that are useless and waste our time and waste our thoughts. We reject him when we decide that we're going to act foolishly. We reject him when our hearts become darkened. You see, we reject him when we think that we are smarter than he is. When we think that we are wise, and we actually act like fools because we think we are smarter than God. We have rejected God. We reject him when we worship idols. When there is something in my life that is a priority above God, we have shown that we are rejecting him in that area. We reject him when we decide to read his truth and turn it into a lie. We reject him when we choose not to retain his truth. And we reject him when we know that something is a sin and we still commit it anyway. And not only do we commit it anyway, but we enjoy it. We're rejecting God. And when we reject God, God will give us over to that sin. In Romans, in the verses I just read 18 through 32, three times Paul says that God will give you over to your sin because you rejected him. Let me make that point very clear. The inconvenience, the consequences are not because God does not want to give us his mercy. It is because we have rejected God and ultimately declined his mercy. We have declined his favor and his goodness upon our lives when we reject him. It is our choice when we say, no, Lord, I'm going to go my way, not yours. If you choose your way over God and reject him, his mercy is no longer upon you. You see, mercy is when we do not have to pay the price for the wrong that we've done. And when we turn to God and we ask his forgiveness, he will show us mercy. And there are so many times when the consequences that we should have from our actions would be way worse than what they are. But because we are believers in Christ, his mercy has come down upon us, and he has made it so that those consequences are not as harsh as they could be. But when we fully reject him, his mercy can no longer be upon us because we have asked him to remove his hand from our life. We have done that. God is there waiting the whole time in our inconvenience for us to turn back to him. God is there waiting the whole time for us to accept him once again. But when we have bad choices, we have bad consequences. And so I just want to give you a couple quick examples because I want you to see how the inconveniences occur when we reject God. So in verses 29 through 31, that's where you guys all kind of like checked out as I was reading the scripture. We went through a very long list of different sins. Unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, envy, murder, debate. So I'm going to pick a couple of those, and I want to explain that when we do these things, we have rejected God. And I want to explain what that inconvenience is that occurs in our life. And so I wanted to pick a couple that I felt that you guys could relate to that would be kind of your age, right? In there, in verse 30, it says, disobedient to parents. Disobedient to parents. How many in here knew that was a sin? As I got a lot of smiles and giggles on that one, right? Okay, in the scripture, in Ephesians 6 and 2, it tells us, honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee and thou may live long on the earth. So in this example where it tells us to honor not to be disobedient to our parents, we have a scripture in Ephesians that tells us that we are supposed to honor our mother and our father. Now, when we reject God and we disobey our parents, what happens when you disobey your parents? Get grounded? Anybody? Butt whooping? Right? Anybody's parents? You don't have to raise your hand, but anybody's parents still whip, right? It's not fun when you're getting in trouble, right? So when you disobey your parents, you're inconvenienced, right? Because a lot of you might get grounded. That means that you're inconvenienced because you can't hang out with your friends like you wanted to. A lot of you might lose your phones for a little while. That means you're inconvenienced because you can't talk on your phone like you want to. Maybe some of you get punished and you have to do a chore. The other day, my niece got in trouble, and she had to write, I will not lie to mommy 13 times. That inconvenienced her because she wanted to play, right? Now, do you see how when we disobey God, we found his word that told us we were supposed to obey our parents, we rejected it, we had a consequence, and it called us an inconvenience. Caused us an inconvenience. Let me do one more example. What about whispers and backbiting? So I think if you go back to 29, it actually says the word whispers. In Proverbs 16 and 28, it says, a forward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separate the chiefest of friends. So this means a person that whispers behind somebody's back separates friendships. Right? That's what Proverbs is telling us. Proverbs is telling us that we should not whisper about people behind their backs, because when you do, you could lose a friend, right? So if we go to school and we begin to whisper about people behind their backs and you lose a friend, you're inconvenienced. Because now you don't have anybody to sit with at the lunch table. Because now you got nobody to ride the bus with. Because probably not only did you just lose that one friend, but you probably lost three other friends with them, because now they all think that you're whisperers, right? Are you hearing me tonight? So anytime that we take God's word, and in all of those, in both of those examples, I was able to show you a place where God's word says, this is what we should do. And then we reject it and we choose not to do it, we are going to have a consequence, and it is going to inconvenience our lives. Amen. And listen, this is just an example of two little things, I would call it. But I could literally select any item from this list, and I could show you a verse in Scripture that tells you how you're supposed to live your life, and I could tell you an inconvenience that is going to happen if you choose to reject God and to do one of these sins. And listen, the reason I feel so strongly in sharing this with you guys tonight is because right now, the world that we live in is changing the truth of God to a lie. Right now, the world that we live in knows that the judgment of God is worthy of death, but they still are committing the sin and they're enjoying it. And not only are they enjoying it, but they are begging us all to come along and hop on their train, right? And if you guys don't know what the Word of God says, then how do you know the truth? How do you know to turn from this wickedness? You could fall into the trap of a lie, and then you're going to be stuck in a life of inconvenience. But I want to live a life of convenience. I am sitting on my couch shopping at Kroger. Right? I like the conveniences that we can have, and I like the conveniences of our Father. But the world we live in today is way past the first signs of rejection. The world we live in today doesn't feel guilty for their sins. In fact, they don't feel convicted. They don't want to feel inconvenienced. You see, Satan is real. And he is out in this world, and he is lying to people every single day. And he's telling people who have been inconvenienced because of their rejection of God that they do not have to pay the price of that inconvenience. He is telling people that it's their right, that they don't have to be inconvenienced or hold the consequences, but that those consequences should not apply to them. In fact, Satan is out there working to make inconveniences more convenient so that we don't think they're as bad as they really are. You want a couple examples? Pregnancy out of marriage. What'd Satan provide? Abortion. Right? We're fighting over that. Marriage. Marriage is a commitment under God. What'd Satan provide? Divorce. Even more so than divorce, what'd Satan provide? People can just live together unmarried for years, right? Then they don't have to worry about marriage. But marriage is a covenant that God put in place between man and woman. What else is inconvenient? Homosexuality, right? Gay is on the list. God tells us that we were created man and woman, and that man and woman should join together. And homosexuality is not okay. But Satan has tried to ease that inconvenience by legalizing marriage for gay couples. Satan has tried to ease that inconvenience by trying to tell my children that it's okay. How about pride? That seems like a pretty innocent one, right? Satan's out there today raising up critical race theory because of one race's pride. These are ways that Satan is trying to make things that are inconvenient more convenient. And what he's trying to force down those of us that are Christians is a little word called tolerance. Little word called tolerance. You see, at a minimum, Satan wants us to just tolerate this sin. But let me tell you this. I really studied this word last week. Because tolerance can be confusing. God does not tolerate sin. Every single day, the wage of sin is death. Bottom line, every single time. But unfortunately, there are far too many Christians that are out there that are tolerating these new conveniences that Satan himself has schemed up to allow these things to appear acceptable in the world. And we are not to be of the world, but we are to be separated of the world. And we are called, just like God, just like Jesus asked us, not to tolerate sin. These aren't secrets. Romans tells us that this is, God has revealed to all men. It isn't a hidden truth. Listen, I can remember a time when I was a child that when I had a friend that got divorced, and it was the most embarrassing, that her parents got divorced, and it was the most embarrassing thing in the world. Can I tell you that my mother was a teenage pregnancy, and you know what her parents did to her? They sure didn't put her on a TV show. They shipped her away to a girls' school in Cincinnati because we didn't tolerate sin the way we do today. Look, and I can stand here and say this because you know what? My son, I had my son out of wedlock. You want to know the inconvenience of that? I had to share him with his father every other weekend. I didn't get him every Christmas or holiday. You think that's convenient? That's inconvenience. I can stand here and share this with you tonight because I know what inconvenience is about, and I know what a life of convenience is, and I will choose the life of convenience every single time. But if I had somebody to tell me that when I do these things, I am rejecting God, and I'm going to have a consequence, and there is going to be something inconvenient that happens in my life, man, I can tell you, I bet some of my choices would have been different. Right? Listen, we as Christians need to start looking at the inconvenient things in our lives and begin to start asking, God, what am I doing wrong? Show me your truth so that I can walk in your convenience. I mean, hallelujah. And let me just say one more time, God is not the cause of this inconvenience. We are. We are the ones that choose to reject him. And when we reject him, his mercy is not available to us again until we ask for it. And when we ask for it, it will be there. But when we're in that season of rejection, we will be inconvenienced by our own doing, not the doing of God's. And so I want to touch back again on tolerance. You see, we often are confusing tolerance with kindness. I'm going to say that word again. We're often confusing the word tolerance with patience. We're often confusing the word tolerance with love. Jesus told us in Matthew 5 that we do not tolerate sin. He said, if your eye is looking at pretty women and you're married, pluck it out so that you do not sin. He said, if your hand is going to steal that thing when you walk by that, cut your hand off, because it is better for you to lose your hand than for your whole body to die. That's how much Jesus said we should not tolerate sin. Let me ask you this. But love, Love is showing a person truth. When you love someone, you want them to know and to be able to go in a path of convenience. You know, I said when I started that I prayed for every single one of you this morning. I sincerely and truly did. Why? Because I love you. I am standing here tonight giving you this message. Why? Because I love you. Because I want you to be able to take a convenient path, a path that is God's path, that is full of prosperity and blessings and favor and goodness. I mean, let me ask you this. If the wage of sin is death and you live a life of sin, what's going to happen? You're going to die, right? If your best friend was standing at a railroad track and they were getting ready to jump out in front of a train, would you stop them? So if your best friend is getting ready to commit a life of sin and have to pay a consequence of death for that sin, shouldn't we be stopping them as Christians? Should we not be stopping them as Christians? I mean, stop them from jumping in front of the train because it's coming. Educating and sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ saves their life. But when we choose not to stop them because it may inconvenience us, man, we're missing the mark. And then let me tell you what else love does. Love does not judge. Romans 2 says, you are not to judge. Because when we judge, we ourselves are condemned. But love supports that person who is lost in sin. Love does support that person that's in that season of inconvenience. Because here's the reality. We've all been there, right? We are called to care for, to minister to support, to love on, to encourage those people that are in a season of inconvenience. Those people that have done some sin and rejected God, and now they have made a mess of their lives because of the rejection. They need Jesus Christ more than anybody else in this world. And we're not called to be halty Christians judging them. We're called to go in to their inconvenient season and show them love and show them truth and show them grace and mercy and continue to give them that grace and mercy to that last person so that they no longer live that life of rejecting God. But that they can cry out to him, that they can turn back to him and accept him like he truly desired in the first place, because it is him and only him that can pull them out of the state of this inconvenience. It is him and only him that can pull them out of the downward spiral that is death. That's the difference between tolerance and love. Showing them the truth so that they can live the life that Christ has asked them to live. And so as I close tonight, I just want to wrap up with a very common passage. Romans 6 and 23, it tells us, the wage of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So as I've stated, when we reject God and we sin, the cost of that, the cost of our sin is death. It's not free. That is the inconvenience. But we know in Romans 5 and 8 that God commanded his love toward us in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. You see, in that inconvenient season, Jesus Christ showed his love for you and I. And he came into this world and he paid the price. That's mercy. So that you and I don't have to face that inconvenience of death, but that we can live. But it is only through the acceptance that we are able to receive that life. In Romans 10 and 9, it tells us, if thou wilt confess with thy mouth that the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with a heart man believes unto righteousness, and with a mouth confession is made. You see, when we're in a state of rejection, when we're in a state of inconvenience, when we're in a place where we've lost hope, when we're paying our consequences, God is right there waiting for us. And that cost, those consequences, that inconvenience, it's already been paid. It's been paid in full by the blood of Jesus Christ. But it's your job to make the choice of no longer rejecting God, but accepting the Lord Jesus by confessing with your mouth and believing in your heart that he paid the price for that sin. You see, love is sharing with those around us, those who are lost and rejected, those that are in the consequences of their sin. It's our job to share with them the knowledge of God. It's our job to share with them the convenient way so that they can turn from their rejection to God, to his acceptance, to his truth and his forgiveness, to his love, his grace and mercy. Because as they would receive and accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, they can have that new life, that life of convenience, just like you and I. And it's only when we accept God day after day, test after test, trial after trial, that we can truly walk in a full life that's going to glorify and edify God. So tonight, won't you come for just a few minutes? Thank God for your day, whether you had a good day or a bad day. Give him the glory that he deserves. And think about if there's anything in your life that's inconveniencing you. And consider if there's something that maybe you need to seek the truth for so that you can find a more convenient way.